Welcome to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast, where I interview some of the best coaches in the business to find their secrets and share them with the world. I'm Scott Rittheimer, founder and CEO of Scale Architects, and we help founders and leaders find the right coach at the right time so they can achieve the predictable success they deserve. And a huge part of that is helping great coaches do great work that creates enormous demand for their services with way less effort. If you're a high demand coach, I'd absolutely love to share your story and expertise as well. So stick around to the end of the show and we'll reveal how you can be our next guest in 15 to 20 minutes. Let's go. Hello, hello, and welcome. Welcome once again to the Secrets of the High Demand Coach podcast. And I am here with yet another high demand coach. That is the one, the only, I tried it so many times and messed it up. We're going to keep rolling with this. I'm going to let him say his last name because my Americanness is getting in my way at the moment. But Amol is here. He is the managing partner of Growth Idea, the UK's leading small, medium enterprise business coaching and consulting company. He also leads the private equity firm, private equity arm, of SJ Mann Solutions, a London-based investment business. And he's previously worked in investment banking and corporate finance with HSBC and Morgan Stanley. He's got a new book out that is awesome. Can't wait to share it with you guys. But before we get there, Mo, welcome to the show. I was wondering if you could just give us some color to this background here. How did all this work with some fantastic organizations lead you to getting into business at Growth Idea?
All right, I'll start with my name. It's Amol Maheshwari. So just for next time. I used to be with finance, with Morgan Stanley and HSBC before joining and starting to work in coaching and with small businesses. It was something that my partner started. So she started working with small businesses, and I was working alongside her, but at Morgan Stanley for about 3 or 4 years. And clearly the results and the fulfillment that you see in coaching, as you probably know, started moving me towards saying, well, actually I need to join her. So in about 2012, so about 12 years now, I started working with her, and we've together built the firm into what is probably one of the most successful SME focused business coaching firms in the country, in the United Kingdom. And we focus specifically on businesses which are the small and medium enterprise. So businesses that are about 500,000 to a million in size to start with, and up to about 50 million. And we've consciously chosen this segment because we found that we can make the results happen the fastest and the growth happen the fastest for this segment. So the moment someone goes beyond this limit, it's time for them to move on and move to the next level, really. So that's what we see as our job.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And you've got a new book out again. I want to come to it here in just a second. But I'm wondering if you could, one of the things that I found as a challenge in that SME space is that it's kind of in between, right? It's not quite big businesses. It's not quite, you know, all these kind of formal strategies and there's a lot of resource that's not only available to, but directed at very large organizations. And then they're not startups either. You know, a lot of them, they've kind of gotten out of those critical first couple of steps, if you will. And one of the things that happens is you kind of hit this in-between space where it feels like it should be okay. It's not that early startup, you know, we're trying to survive. But sometimes you just don't have a rhythm in that stage. You just, and it's hard to find out what's wrong. It's hard to Google, you know, the problem that you're experiencing in your business. So what would you say are some of the main challenges that cause that, and how do you help folks overcome it?
So we tend to think of it, it's a really good question because, well, for two reasons. One is the first thing that you mentioned, the leadership gurus out there, they're focused on large companies, and some of these concepts don't quite translate. They don't quite translate to the SME space. And an SME business owner could be looking at it and reading a book about Amazon or about Netflix and saying, oh, I need to do that. but it's not quite right for them. They're not at the same place where these businesses are. So some of these things don't translate. I think the other thing that happens is when you start a business and when you get it started and start to get some kind of success, you've devoted so much time and effort to it, to getting the business right, that you don't really have time to think about the business of business. You have to think about your clients, you have to think about your stakeholders, you have to think about your suppliers, your customers. What else could you do with your employees? How would you grow it? You have to think about your bank account, where you get your financing from. So there's so many things to think about. You don't really have time to start stepping back and say, okay, what do I do with the business? And what happens, and this is where our thesis on where small businesses and SME businesses get stuck, is where the business owner hits their ceiling of complexity. And you've probably heard this term before. A lot of coaches recognize that different business owners have their own individual ceilings of complexity. We find that at one level, a ceiling of complexity is when people don't know how to manage the people. So when you start saying that, well, I can do everything myself, that's usually an easier job. And when you have to hire people and start making sure that you're getting the job done through someone else, that's complex. So, and that's, that complexity also means that you can't do it without learning. It's a skill that you have to learn. That's where people start getting stuck. And that's where someone like us and coaches come in and start saying, okay, let's teach you, let's help you through that specific challenge. Some is system related. Again, you could be successful and you could be doing it yourself and you know exactly the right sauce of how to do it, but you've never quite built a system. So you've never invested in systems, you've not built in systems, and that becomes a level of complexity. So you get up every day and you run on the same treadmill again. That's again something that you start thinking, well, okay, how do we solve this? We found that at different levels, mindset is a specific challenge for small business owners. So when we look at mindset, these are successful people. Sometimes success for some people starts meaning that, well, am I an imposter? Do I deserve this success? Am I just got lucky? And that becomes a mindset. Another mindset becomes, well, let me just hold on to the success that I've got and not plan to do the next thing and the next bigger thing. That also becomes a mindset challenge. So that there's a few different things. We talk about this in a 6M model, which is what we work through. So we talk about these mindset challenges. We talk about management challenges, how to manage people, methodology or challenges related to systems. And these are over and above the usual things. Where am I going? What's my vision? What do I need to define? What are my goals? How do I make money? How do I build my sales and marketing? So there's the tactical challenges. But these challenges, in my view, are like slightly above the other ones because they're things that you don't usually deal with in the first 3, 4, 5 years of your business.
Yeah, there's so much in there to unpack. I love every bit of what you just said because one of the things I really want to key in on is that for entrepreneurs, there's a very real personal journey and transformation that's happening. And at the same time, you can't just deal with it personally. It has to come out in how you manage and how you lead an organization. And so what I see a lot of even coaches do is they'll kind of gravitate toward one side of that. I help with, you know, personal leadership, or I help with organizational strategy and tactics. And what I love about the way that you guys are approaching this is that you're knitting those two things together. Was that a conscious decision for you guys? It's not necessarily easy. How do you navigate that?
It is conscious. So when we first started saying, well, our job is to create better realities. That's how we define our mission. We create better realities for business owners. We said, okay, what is a better reality? And we'll only do it if we can measure it. So measured better reality means more money in the business. So you're making more money in the business. So we defined it that way. And then when we started working with people, we started saying, well, actually we can fix the tactics, but you have a bit of a spring in the business and people keep going back to the same thing if you're just telling them that these are the right things to do. And so you have to put a bit of, well, the business owner needs to become the right person. So it's a bit of being and working on the business owner, not just the doing and the strategy and the tactics. Yeah. And when both these things work together is when you start building sustainable reality, which becomes, so it's a bit of, which in coaching we do, we teach. So we're teaching, we are making sure it's being absorbed. We're making sure that we don't have to keep going back and saying the same thing because they're learning and they're learning how to fish. So that only happens if it's not just, Well, I'll teach you another trick. I'll teach you another trick. I'll teach you another trick. It has to be, well, have you read this? Have you built your skill on how to hire people? Have you built your skill on how to write processes, write systems, understand money? And that's what then makes it ingrained. So over time, I think in the first few years of the business is where we started saying, actually, we can't do one and not the other. It has to be a bit of a mix. We still lead with, well, the business has to make more money. So if you're working with us, your business has to make more money. Otherwise, you've not done a good job.
Right.
But the, in a way, one of the hurdles we have to cross to get the business to make more money is to make the business all the better and get them to shift their mindset and this and move to a different plane of how they think about their business.
And the other thing that I really love about how the way that you laid this out is it's not so much that the business owners are doing something wrong. It's that they've hit a limit on how they've been doing what they're doing, right? This idea of a threshold of complexity. And you're right, like management is a really big one. I've never, maybe you've met one, but I've never met a founder who started their business to manage people, right? Like it's just not that DNA, right? There's a lot easier ways of managing people. Let's just put it that way. Not that they don't like people, not any of those things, but what happens is a lot of founders will see that as kind of a DNA. Oh, I'm not a manager. I'm a leader, an entrepreneur, a visionary, a fill in the blank, something other than manager. But you went straight to it and said, no, that's just a skill set that you need to learn, right? For each of these thresholds of complexity, it's not so much that you can or can't do it. It's that you have to adopt a new skill set to succeed in that level. Would you agree with that?
Yep. So partially, yes. So you have to adopt a new skill set. Or you have to get awareness of whether you have the capability of building that skill set. So if you don't have the capability of building the skill set, then your capability needs to be, how do I hire someone and work with someone who has that skill set? So this is where you start thinking about, well, the entrepreneur mindset and the manager mindset, and where should the entrepreneur let go before he runs the business into the ground? So an entrepreneur is usually really skilled. If they're good, they're really skilled in building a new idea, but they're not skilled in managing the idea. So either they learn that skill or they find someone else who works along with them and they hand over the business, or at least the running of the business and the managing of people, to that new person. So it's just, I think it boils down to the awareness first and the decision that the business owner has to take. And that's what we put in front of the business owner. But you just need to decide, are you going to do it or are you not going to do it? If you're going to do it, it's hard work because you will have to learn how to do this. But it'll be enjoyable hard work. If you want someone else to do it, it'll be a little less hard work, but you'll have to put in the work in finding the right person and trusting the right person, then trust and learning how to let go. So that's also work. You just have to decide which path of difficulty you choose for yourself.
Yeah, that's so true. Now, one of the things that I've noticed, one of the big symptoms, and you even talked about this as one of your business results, but when we start bumping up against these thresholds of complexity, one of the clearest ways to know that we're there is that we start feeling the pain in profitability, right? And there's all kinds of different reasons that happens, but I know it's a primary area of focus for you guys, and it's a big part of the new book. So tell us a little bit about the new book that you guys have published and how it addresses this issue of profitability, financial understanding as a whole for entrepreneurs.
Cool. Thank you for that. So that's the book. So the book is called Score and it's available on Amazon. I'm sure you'll share the link later on. So this is where it started. We talk a lot about skill building and understanding the basics of what you're doing. We all know this, that becoming a business owner in the UK, in most Western countries, in the UK and in the US, you can wake up one morning and say, I want to run my own business and go up and set up a company or start being self-employed. So you can become an entrepreneur in about 10 minutes. That's not what you do with any other profession. So a lot of the education that we have to do with business owners is tell them that, well, are you learning business? And what's the fundamentals of business? One of those fundamentals is the language. Your business is going to talk to you in the language of money, in the language of finance. So it's really crucial for you to understand that language. That's what this book is on. Now, we've seen a lot of books on finance. And as we speak to our clients, we spend so much time teaching them finance and how to think about their accounts and how to think about their numbers. We realize that actually most books tend to approach it from a bookkeeping or accounting perspective. And that's not what business owners want. What they want is, well, what does this mean for me? What does it mean for my business? What am I looking for? And a lot of business owners seem to think that it's not my job, it's the accountant's job. But the profit doesn't go to the accountant. The accountant usually gets a fee. So the job of understanding the business and through its numbers is the business owners. So if there is any one skill that I would pick across all that the business owner needs to have, it's this understanding money. That's really what started us down the path of the book. So we wrote it in such a way that we said, well, let's make it easy. Let's make it really relevant for this particular segment, the small business owner, small medium enterprise business owner. Not to say that others won't find it useful, but that's where it's addressed. And we said, let's break it into three parts. So one part, we made it as the book is in three parts. I've said, first part, we said, let's make it as a bit of a reference manual. So if you see any figure in your accounts, if your accountant throws a number at you or throws a term at you, you should be able to look it up. You should be able to say, okay, what is it? What does it do? How do I manage it? So that's the first part of the book. The second part of the book is kind of a case study workbook. So you can work alongside and start putting, actually do, in my view, you will do a whole semester of accounting course if you do just the second part of the book. So you're walking through a whole business and writing down and making your own accounts for the business. And the third part is where we take it to the next level, saying, okay, if you really understood your business and you understood how return on investment works and how value creation works and how we measure these things, we could really scale up the business. And we break that ceiling of complexity, which you don't even know. Usually the money is, or the finance of the business is, and we say that one of the biggest fears or one of the biggest dangers for a business is a blind spot. And this is where we find the finance is often for most business owners. They don't know because it's like a big blind spot for them. They're like, well, I'm getting customers, right? And the cash is coming in, right? And I can afford to pay my employees, right? So I'm okay. And that is such a big blind spot. And that's what the third part tries to address, that, well, how really should you be reverse thinking and saying, well, what's the real purpose of the business? And how do I measure that? And how am I measuring that up?
It's so true. And I think one of the things that makes this really challenging is many SMEs, their leadership teams that are helping them to make these decisions, they lack the financial understanding as well, right? And so one of the places you talked about imposter syndrome, one of the places I see that happening is where, you know, a founder is sitting there saying, I don't quite understand how all our finances work, if I'm honest. And now I'm supposed to hold others accountable to making great financial decisions. And it's almost a little overwhelming. Like, where do I even start? How do I start to level them up? So what is that first step for someone who's in that, they're feeling it right now, that they're wrestling with some of the inadequacy of it, but they really want their business to be more profitable?
Well, the first step is to read the book. But just to be more direct about it, so you need a basic understanding. If you think of yourself as a business professional, you need to invest in your business education. One of those investments is some of these core concepts. So the book, and there's others too, where you talk about the core concepts so you know what you're doing. In our book, at the end of it, we define, well, this is the one page. If you have this one page, it will tell you everything about your business. So you're trying to highlight, well, what are the key things in your business that you want to look at? And those are the things that you want. If you have a management team, those are the things you want your management team to report on. Those are also the things you want to incentivize your management team. So what's good and what's bad? And I've seen a lot of these discussions where you love your management team and they come to you and they seem to be all meeting their KPIs because none of the KPIs are really well-defined and go down to numbers. But the business is not making money. So everyone's happy until they look at the numbers and say, well, we're not making profit. And if that's happening, then it's really coming from the top, that the business owner has not understood what they want to look at, and therefore they've not been able to explain to people how to make decisions. How do they expect the management team to make decisions that help the business if they don't know what will help the business?
Yeah, it's such a great point because, again, the idea, going back to the earlier point of books written for the wrong audience, and you even said this from an accounting perspective, you know, most of the time, when folks are professionally approach a P&L, they're thinking about it in terms of making sure that it's you know, either GAAP compliant here in the US or we'll keep the tax man happy, right? Yeah. But neither of those actually contribute to making the good decisions that are necessary to be profitable as an organization. So I love your approach in saying, no, let's look at this from an entrepreneurial perspective. Yeah, we have to level up financial understanding. We have to understand what these terms mean. but we want to understand them so that we know how to make better decisions as a team.
Yeah, that's spot on. And you're right. As in, if I'm running a business and I do my accounts so that I keep the tax man happy, then really I'm also in the same breath saying that, well, I run my business so I can pay tax. If I run my business so that I don't get found off the tax guy, then again I'm saying that, well, I'm running my business out of fear. I just do the things that the government has asked me to do, and that's what I do. If I'm running my business for myself, then actually I have my own set of accounts. So I have a report that comes to me first, and it doesn't matter what the tax man is asking for, what they're not asking for. I know what my sales are, what my gross profit is, what my net profit is, what my return at every point of time is. I'm evaluating decisions on numbers. I'm saying, well, does this make sense for me on a numerical perspective or not?
Well, yeah, that goes straight to the heart of it. Who are you running your business for? There's just gold in there. All right, so there's a question I like to ask all my guests, and it's this. What would you say, kind of summarizing all this, what is the biggest secret that you wish wasn't a secret at all? What's that one thing that you wish everybody watching or listening today knew?
Okay. I thought about this, and I thought about it also actually when I, because of the title of podcast. Have you seen The Kung Fu Panda?
Yeah.
The movie? So in The Kung Fu Panda, there's this weird thing about, there's this secret scroll which has all the powers. And at the end of it, they realize that the scroll is actually empty. There is no secret. And this is kind of the theme of the movie. And for me, I think that's, in today's day and age, that's become a bit indicative of how business owners think. If you're always looking online for the next tweet, which will tell you the secret, or the next Insta, which will tell you the secret, that's not how it works. There are books that have been written about 50, 60, 100 years ago, which actually have revealed the secret. It's out there. It's not complicated. You just need to take the right steps, do it one step at a time. So for me, I think the secret to success is just putting, and in this case, is just saying, well, okay, what are the fundamentals that have been established, not in the last 5 years, but 20 years ago, 30 years ago? Values that have been established, hard work works, making sure that you're thinking positively and moving in the right direction and defining the vision of your business, that works. Making sure that you're good at what you do and that you're doing it for the right reason, aligned with the right values, these things work. So these are not, unfortunately, these are not secrets anymore. It's just that someone positions and packages it a little differently and gives it out as a secret. And I'm like, well, that's, you know, it's not. So for me, it's like, just go back to the fundamentals, go back to the great authors, and they've revealed everything already.
Yeah.
So funnily enough, I was explaining my book to someone, and I was saying, well, actually everything, one of the things that we've done over the last 10, 20, 30 years is we've tried to make accounts look similar across the world. So everyone is speaking the same language. So I can pick up UK GAAP, and I can pick up GAAP in the US, and I can pick up IFRS, and I'll find they look very similar. They're using the same language. They're looking very similar. So it's not a secret. That this knowledge is not a secret. It's all there, and actually we've codified it so it's one language. But people think that there's some secret sauce. The secret sauce is just the belief that you can do it.
I love it. It goes back to your thing earlier. It's all hard work. But as entrepreneurs, we get to pick which hard work we're going to do. Such a great point. Before I let you go, I'm going to shift gears on you for a second. I'm going to have you put on your managing partner hat instead of your coach consultant hat. Talk to us a little bit about the next stage of growth for you and your business and what challenge you'll have to overcome to get there.
So we have two parts to the business, really. One part is the coaching part. We're growing the coaching part of the business, but we're fairly selective in the kinds of clients we work with. So we are also selective in the coaches that we work with. So we're building a coaching team, and that's what we plan to do over this year and next year also. So continue to build our coaching team, do it a little selectively, do it to make sure that we can continue to deliver the value that we can. That's the first part of the business. The second part of the business is private equity. We've always... I think from day one, we've always said that we won't teach anything that we are not doing ourselves. So we've always had this push to say, well, we'll implement all the things we are telling our clients in our own business and in our own businesses. So one of the things we've been telling clients is you need to grow through acquisition and organic growth. That's what we've been doing. then we've been telling them we need to learn how to implement these systems, these principles, build the right MD. So part of our growth plan on the private equity side is to build our own portfolio of businesses, continue to build our own portfolio of businesses, and implement some of the same things that we tell our clients that they should do. So that's the long-term plan too.
It seems so simple, right? What do you need to do? Take your own advice. But how many coaches and consultants in our industry don't do that? I love that you're willing to put your methods where your mouth is and make it happen yourself. So well done with that. Super excited about the future for you guys, a growth idea, adding coaches and continuing to grow your impact as well. The book is available. It's called Score. It's on Amazon. We'll add the link to the show note. How can folks find more out about you and the work that you do as well?
So the best way is actually to go to our website, growthidea.co.uk. It's a .co.uk website for listeners in the US. But if they go there, there's enough material there. We have a growth hub where we keep putting a lot of material ongoing. We have two books. So the Score is actually our second book. The first book by my partner Spox is actually available to order for free. So you can go on the website and order that. We try and put a lot of content out there for free, and it's available on our website. So that's probably the first step. The second step would be, if you want to work with us, then you apply through the website. And like I said, we're a little selective. So I would suggest you first go through all the free content and then decide if you are taking the next step.
That's fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being here. Just a privilege having you on the show. Fantastic, fantastic advice. And for those of you watching and listening, you know that your time and attention mean the world to us. I hope you got as much out of this conversation as I know I did. And I cannot wait to see you next time. Take care.
Scott Ritzheimer here. Thank you so much for listening to the Secrets of High Demand Coaches podcast. If you are a successful coach, consultant, or advisor who's built a strong book of business and would like to be on the program, please visit go.scalearchitects.com. And if you got something out of this interview, would you share this episode on social media and just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials? If you know someone who'd be a great guest, you can tag them on social media to let them know about the show. And make sure you include the hashtag #HighDemandCoaching. I love seeing your posts. I love seeing your guest suggestions. Thank you so much. We are regularly putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any of those episodes, go ahead and subscribe now. Your thumbs up, your ratings, your reviews, they go a long way to help us promote the show, and they mean a lot to me and my team. If you want to know more, you can go to our website, www.scalearchitects.com, or you can follow me or the company on LinkedIn, Facebook, or Instagram. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.